Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
We are in our series called The Mask of Religion. And last week, Pastor Jason was preaching, okay? If you weren't here last week, go on the Church Center app, click Sermon Library, and you're going to want to listen to that message. He talked about the word exposed and how the religious leaders were trying to trip up Jesus and expose him. Could you imagine trying to pull a fast one over Jesus? Jesus the Christ, I am him. The religious leaders were kind of trying to catch Jesus. And Pastor Jason went on to talk about how there is a moment in the seasons that we come across where either God is going to expose what's in your heart or the devil will expose what's in your heart. And depending on where you're at, Jesus, he is so kind. He is so loving that when he exposes something in our heart, it's meant to help us realign with his plan and his purpose for our lives. It is not meant to shame us. It is not meant to guilt us. It is not meant for anything but to show us how loved we are and the purpose and plan that he has for us. The Bible says that the devil's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy your life. So when he exposes you, of course, it causes devastation. Of course, it brings about feelings of shame and guilt, which is why it's so important that we take moments that say, where we get to humble ourselves and say, God, search my heart and point out anything in me that offends you. Today, the title of my message is, It's Not What It Looks Like. Everybody say, it's not. Okay, this is second service. Come on, y'all. Y'all slept in. Okay, I've been up since 3:45. God been talking to me about y'all since early this morning. Everybody say, it's not what it looks like. Baby, have you ever walked in on a situation and then you caught somebody and they give you this look like? And they give you that look like, it's not what it looks like. Here at Hope City Youth Ministry, there are often times where we are taking a lap around the building or we just happen to step outside and we run into situations and your kids, because it's y'all kids in here, I don't got no kids. All of my kids, I get to get back to somebody, amen. It's your kids that give us that look that is not what it looks like, because why were you in the dark in the room? What do you mean it's not what it looks like? Were y'all praying in the dark? All my teenagers in the room, I love y'all. You ever showed up to work and there's like a huddle that's happening, and as soon as you walk in, the huddle stops and everybody looks at you like, it's not what it looks like. We're not talking about you. We're just talking about something that we don't want you to hear. I'm not saying that we were gossiping. I'm just saying it's not what it looks like. We're going to zoom in today on a set of scripture where Jesus is giving his last public speech. And in this crowd, there are religious leaders of the time. There are disciples and people who have been following Jesus around from city to city. And there are people there who are unsure if this is the man who actually says he is who he is. And Jesus is warning them in this moment that the religious leaders, what they're saying is true, but how they're living doesn't align with the word that they're speaking. And in other words, Jesus is saying it's not what it looks like. And quite frankly, in Matthew 22, Jesus was addressing the religious leaders face to face, and they weren't listening to Jesus, and Jesus was done. He was done. You ever just been done with your kids? You love them, but you're just done? Like, if you say one more thing. Nope, okay, cool. Yeah, okay. That's a lie. Some of y'all need to start volunteering in our kids' ministry. Yeah. As we take a look into Matthew 23, Jesus is going to highlight how much he loves and is concerned for his sheep, because he is addressing something in the heart of the religious leaders. He is addressing the religiosity of the leaders while also protecting his sheep. So we're starting today in Matthew 23, starting in verse 1, it says this. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. Everybody say practice. And obey. For they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. And they love to sit at the head table at banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher. Everybody say one teacher. And all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your father. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you have only one teacher, the Messiah, which is Jesus. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. There's two things today that I want to discuss that God was showing me during my study as we are going through these 12 scriptures. And the first one is this. Religious people know the word, but Christians live by it.
Come on.
Religious people know the word, but Christians live by it. Matthew 23:3 says, so practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. Jesus is addressing the fact that there were leaders in that crowd, leaders that were responsible for their communities and responsible for the temples and the spiritual influence that they had. They knew what the word of God said, but the lives they lived didn't match up. They knew the word, but they didn't allow the word to convict their heart. They didn't allow the word to transform them. Jesus is both correcting the religious leaders while protecting his sheep. He's saying that this word, the word of God, is true. This is the holy, inspired word of God, and it's true. If the Bible says it, it's true. But he's saying, even though the people are saying things, religious leaders are saying things that are true, they don't have the fruit to back it up. They're saying one thing and they're living another way. They have no fruit to validate what they're saying. I just need y'all to know, I'm just a real talk person, okay? So If you feel some kind of way, take it to God, okay?
Yeah.
One of the biggest bullies in my youth ministry is social media. One of the biggest bullies in the world right now is social media. Because we use it real passively. We use it in real petty way. We'll post scriptures. And I don't know what it is about y'all 35 plus, but baby, y'all be using our AI pictures, okay? Some of y'all, anyways, okay. And we post these scriptures hoping that the person that we actually don't have enough relationship with, the person in our family that we're fed up with, and we wish they would get their lives together and they would stop doing what they're doing. Instead of loving them like Jesus, we post online passively hoping that they see it and it changes their life. We hope that this post is going to help them change their behavior and belief. We use the word of God to guilt people into submission. We spout out verse after verse after verse, but our public declaration does not match our private lifestyle. And we wonder why the world thinks we're hypocrites. Week after week, we get on our soapboxes and we preach how good God is and how loving he is. And how he takes away our sin, and he does. Yes. But it matters the heart in which you say it in. Yeah. So we show up here on Sundays, and we sing the songs, clap our hands, we lift our hands. Some of us, if you're new, you kind of look around and figure out what's going on around here, what's normal. Maybe you don't have a church background. Welcome, thank you for being here with us today. But as Christians, we get so used to showing up on the outside, we look like we have it all together. Come on. Everything is going well. My life is great. I've never had a problem a day in my life. I don't need prayer for anything. I'm good. Yeah. And we think because we look good on the outside that we're fooling people. And here's the thing. Some of y'all are fooling us. Yeah. But some of y'all are fooling us, and it looks good, and it's well put together, and it's well packaged. But just because you're fooling us doesn't mean you're fooling God. It doesn't mean that you've made a pass over him. He is not unintelligent. He's very smart. Jesus is the only person that sees you all of the time. Baby, you can fool us, but you can't fool him. And here's the thing. We come here, and either we're struggling or we're wrestling. Here's the difference. When you're struggling, maybe something is going on in your life and you feel like God is asking you to address it. He's asking you to trust him with it. But you want to have control on when that happens, what it should look like, how it should happen, and you've told God no. And so you show up here every single week with the same thing going on because you're trying to do what God can only do by yourself. And then some of y'all show up here, and baby, you're wrestling. And you've brought that thing that you're struggling with to light. And you're in life group, and you're asking for help, and you're asking for prayer. And you have people that can speak into your life, that can correct you, that can help you, that can pray for you. And you're wrestling. See, the difference between struggling and wrestling is struggling, you do it in the dark alone, and wrestling, you do it in the light and in community. If you wonder why you've been stuck in the same cycle, maybe you're struggling and doing things by yourself when actually you need to bring it to the light so God can address it.
Yeah, that's so good.
Parents, I just want to I want to let y'all know, baby, I love you. The reason Hope City Kids, Hope City Youth exists is because we want to serve you. We want to serve your kids. We want to come alongside you. We believe that right now God has a plan and a purpose for their life, and they do not have to be an adult to have an influence for the kingdom of God. That's why we're expanding. It's not for a bigger building. It's because more kids need to know that God has a plan and a purpose for their life. Remember, I said I love you. Family, some of you make it a rule that you and your whole family, your kids, have to come to church on Sunday. And please bring your kids to church on Sunday. Please don't. Bring your kids to church on Sunday. But something that we should also consider is just because you bring your kids here on a Sunday and you preach the gospel to them and you tell them all these things about Jesus. Maybe it's the fact that it's not that they don't want a relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's the fact that the Jesus you preach about you look nothing like.
Come on. Yeah.
Maybe when you're home, the words you use don't reflect the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
How you speak to them doesn't reflect the heart of Jesus. How you treat your spouse, or your husband, your wife doesn't reflect the Jesus that you so boldly preach. Not just the religious leaders. It's us too. Parents, you are your child's first pastor.
Come on.
We get to come alongside you and we get to partner with you, but I'm not at your house every day. God didn't trust me with your kids in that manner. He trusted you with your kids. And so when you come here, understand that you have a responsibility. You are discipling your kids, and we just get to come alongside you and say, whatever God says is true. You have the greatest responsibility and the most influence in your kid's life. So please do not preach a gospel that you are not willing to submit to.
Come on.
Please don't use Jesus as a weapon in your home. He's not a punisher. He's not angry. He's not abusive. He's not forceful. That's not who he is. So allow him to change your life and let the fruit of your life influence and impact your family. Okay, we're going to keep moving on. Yay! Matthew 23, verse 4. It says they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. Religious leaders of that day would wear something called phylacteries. Everybody say phylacteries. Baby, I practice this word all week, okay? The religious leaders would have these boxes wrapped around their arm with scripture rolled up inside. They would have these bands across their forehead with scripture inside. So during the week when it was a time for prayer, they would pull out these scrolls and these scriptures to read them. And in that moment, it would sound super spiritual, like a great thing to do, and it is. Baby, you should be in this word. You should be praying to God. Amen. But it has to be done with the right intention and surrender to the Lord. What was meant to be sacred, they were using for show. Jesus was exposing the heart of the leaders who wanted to seem spiritually superior, spiritually elite. Like they paid that $39.99 for the best spiritual subscription to Christianity, okay? They thought they were the top of the line. You know how expensive Disney Plus and Netflix is? Anyway,
yes,
okay.
I do.
They didn't want no ads, okay? They were trying to communicate that because of their phylacteries, that they were better than the people that they were leading. You ever been around somebody who seems like they're an elite Christian? Like they're superior to everybody else? Like just because you know the word more than me means that you're way more holy and way more saved, but your heart doesn't even look like Jesus's heart? As I was preparing for this, God showed me a handful of people in our church who have a church background. And you understand what it is to be under the care and the leadership of somebody who was a pastor or a spiritual leader who abused their influence in their life. And what was meant to be sacred and holy and safe has caused you a lot of pain. And the place that you're supposed to come, that's supposed to be safe and heal and be in community, is the last place you want to be, because the last time you tried, it broke your heart. And people talked bad about you. And they spoke bad on your character. And they gossiped about you. And they excommunicated you. And so now you're here. And we're saying this is a safe place. And now that past experience is running through your mind. As a pastor in this church, and on behalf of spiritual leaders, I just want to repent to you. Because to be trusted to be a shepherd is a high call.
Yeah.
It is. And it's a humble one. And it was never meant to abuse authority.
Right.
It was never meant to cause harm or detriment or pain. And if that has been your experience with the church, I just want to apologize and ask for your forgiveness, because it wasn't right what they did to you.
Yeah.
It is not the heart of the Father. It is not how Jesus thinks about you and loves you and pursues you. He is not an angry God. He's not an abusive God. He doesn't use his words to hurt you. And so I just want to repent on behalf of any spiritual leader who may have used that influence and that authority in a negative way. Jesus was exposing the mentality of that thing in us that all of us have, that desire, the glory and the recognition and the honor. And it may not look the same for all of us, but we all have that desire. All of us in our human nature desire glory, reverence, and influence. And can we talk about it in Ephesians 4? God gave five specific, and we call them offices, assignments for the building of the church. He gave pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and apostles. If you read through Ephesians 4, it'll go into more detail what that means. The book of Ephesians is great, by the way. Go ahead and check that out.
Yeah.
But I just want to petition to you today, if God hasn't specifically purposed for you to be in one of those offices, if he has not purpose for you to be in a leadership position in the church, please do not aspire to that. Hear my heart on this.
Wow.
We did not say yes for a title.
Right.
I did not put myself here. This was God ordained. And I fought my pastors because I also come from spiritual abuse. And I never wanted to be something in title only, because titles don't make you a pastor or a leader.
That's right.
But I knew that saying yes to what God had purposed for me meant that there are ways I'm going to have to humble myself, sacrifice, and die to myself in a way that I wasn't 100% certain I wanted to do. Because I never wanted to be in a position of authority and mismanage it because of my own brokenness. If God has not purposed for you to be in spiritual leadership, please say no, because you will mismanage it. And you will cause harm where it's not meant. What is meant to be sacred, you will abuse. The religious leaders really wanted influence like Jesus. They wanted authority like Jesus, but they did not want to crucify their flesh like Jesus. Matthew 23, verse 7. And they loved to sit at the head table at banquets and the seats of honor in the synagogues. They loved to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your father. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you have only one teacher, the Messiah, who is Jesus. The word rabbi in Hebrew translates to my teacher, my master. The religious leaders wanted lordship and mastery over the people that God asked them to humbly serve. They forgot that it's God first, people second.
Right.
And they put themselves on the throne and in authority, and that's where we get mismanagement.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in this room and you're not in a spiritual leadership authority, it can be really easy to check out right now and think that what's happening in the room and what's being said doesn't apply to you. But here's the truth. God has given all of us influence somewhere. All of us have the same mandate from Jesus. The second thing that I've pulled from this text is public influence requires private surrender.
Yeah.
Public influence requires private surrender. Matthew 23:11 says, the greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. If you are ever going to steward well the gifts and the talents and the influence that God wants to entrust you with, it is going to require you to have a life of integrity even when nobody is looking. This is not just for adults. This is anybody at any age that wants to partner with the Lord. Your private life has to match your public confession.
Yes.
Integrity is a requirement for influence. Integrity is a requirement for stewardship and to be trusted with the things God wants to give to you. We cannot say one thing and live another way.
Right.
It will require you to submit to leadership. And we don't like to talk about that. Because, baby, I want to do whatever I want to do. That's what I hear a lot in youth ministry anyways. But you can't be a healthy leader unless you're a healthy disciple. You cannot be a healthy leader without being a healthy disciple. You cannot ask people to submit to something you're not willing to do yourself. Because then that makes you a hypocrite. And that's not what Jesus is. The reason why we have life groups is so you have a safe place to heal and grow and ask questions and receive healing and understand the plan and the purpose that God has for you, because he does have a plan and a purpose for your life.
Amen.
The most dangerous leaders are the ones with zero accountability.
Come on. That's right.
The most dangerous Christians are the ones with zero accountability.
Yeah.
Tell them, baby.
That's right.
Some of you have convinced yourself that because you're not on a platform like this, that the influence God has given you is insignificant. But I bet if we went around the room and we asked you about your life, we can pinpoint areas of influence that God has only trusted you with. He didn't trust me with those.
That's right.
I don't work where you work.
That's right.
I don't live with you and your kids. Mm-hmm. My kids aren't on baseball teams. They're not on sports teams. Each of you have something God has entrusted you with.
Yep.
I'm trying. I know. Okay. All of us have the same mandate given by Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Could you imagine what would happen to our families if parents, we really just decided that our greatest disciples will ever be entrusted with is our kids?
Yeah. Come on.
For the coaches, for your coworkers, can we just for a second imagine what the church would look like if we really believed that God wanted to partner with us to change the world?
Wow.
Then you wouldn't just be showing up for a paycheck. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure to this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus was reminding the crowds that the heart of the Father is for people. It's for all people. He was reminding the crowd that what the Word of God says is always true. What He says is true. There's not one thing in this Bible that's untrue. But we have to check our fruit. We have to check our heart. Just because somebody says something that's true, it doesn't mean it matches their lifestyle. Just because you claim to be a Christian, if you are not a follower of Jesus, coming to service on Sunday doesn't make us Christ followers. It just makes us curious about Christ.
Wow.
Death is required to be a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
Death of your flesh is required. If you say, I'm a Christian, you don't have the right to hold on to unforgiveness.
Right.
You've given up that right. It's not dismissing how people have hurt you. It's just saying, God, I'm submitted to a higher authority.
Amen.
If you've been here for over a year and you're still just sitting in the seat, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Please hear my heart. There's people on the line.
Yeah.
There's kids on the line.
I
know it's going to cost you time. Ask me how I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's going to cost you energy. Ask me how I know.
Right.
But there's something that happens when those sixth graders, Pastor BJ and Megan were here last week, and God just showed me a picture of them praying for them, so I had them come back after our first worship experience, because there's something supernatural that happens when these junior highers pray. Because they really believe that God is who He says He is and that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And we watch these kids minister to pastors. These are the kids in our church. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about people. And the reason why we have to take these masks off, because when you keep it on, you're in the way. You're in the way of what God wants to do. You can't see past your hurt and your wounds. You can't see past the things that keep tripping you up. It's hard to have a heart for God's people if you haven't experienced His love. So today, as we're getting ready to close, there's really two calls in the room. There's really two calls in the room. If we can just close our eyes and bow our head for a minute. The Bible says that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Repentance means to turn away from the thing that is causing a barrier between you and Jesus and to turn back to Him and realign yourself with His plan and purpose for your life, to receive the love that He has for you, the healing that He has for you, the sound mind that He has for you. And maybe you're here today and you haven't decided to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you decided in past, but you haven't been living. There's not fruit of that decision. And today, if you're in the room and you're saying, Jesus, I want to make you the number one authority and priority in my life. I believe, God, that you sent Jesus to die for my sin. That he died on the cross and he rose again, that I would be able to be in perfect relationship with Father God and have all of the things that he has planned and purpose for me. Just so we know who we're praying for, can you please raise your hand if you're deciding that you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life today? The rest of us in the room, I'm going to ask all of us to stand up. Today's the day of decision. Some of you walked in here with a mask today. And it's called bitterness. Some of you walked in with a mask today called resentment and anger. Some of you walked in the room with a mask called unforgiveness. Some of you walked in a room today with a mask called disappointment, with a mask called trauma and PTSD. Some of you walked in with a mask called chaos. Yeah. Whatever the name of your mask is, I want you to know that God is a good God. And he takes the things that are not meant for us to carry, the things that have been weighing us down, the things that have been causing a barrier between us and him, to restore us back to a right relationship so that we can receive healing. Some of you know what it is to use the word of God against others. And maybe today your mask is called repentance. With every eye closed, if you would say today, Pastor Shaq, God has been speaking to me today, and my mask has a name. And today I'm deciding to take off that mask and give it to Father God. Wow. Can you just raise your hand wherever you're at? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, hands all over the room. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Here's what we're going to do. Today we're going to make a choice, and you're going to repeat after me. And the power is not in the words, it's in the intention of your heart. We're gonna surrender this mask to Jesus. And then we're gonna ask him what he wants to give us in return. So all together say, Jesus, the name of my mask is. Say the name of your mask. What is it? Name it. Don't be embarrassed. We all have something. This is a safe place. Say, Jesus, I willingly surrender this mask to you. What do you want to give me in return? Now pause and listen. What does he want to give you in return? The word that he gives you is the weapon you use when you try to pick that mask back up. Because in our human nature, we will try to pick it back up. And maybe tomorrow you're going to have to say the same thing. God, I give you the mask of.
Yeah, that's right.
And I surrender it to you.
Right.
What do you want to give me in return?
Right.
Because in our human nature, we want to take back control. And so whatever word God gave you, what he wants to give you in return, that's the weapon you use. Say, this mask no longer belongs to me because Jesus has given me. And that's the truth. God, thank you so much for your presence. God, that every time that we show up, so do you. God, I pray right now for every single person who is wrestling through the mask. God, who is wrestling with unforgiveness, who is wrestling with resentment and bitterness and anger and feeling like, I didn't think my life would be here at this moment. I thought I would be somewhere else. God, for those who are dealing with disappointment, God, for those who are mourning loss, wherever we're at today, Jesus, I pray, would we feel your presence every day this week, and would we feel the safety to lay down new masks that you bring to mind? And would we trade them for more of you? God, would you help us not to just be people who speak out the word, but help us to be convicted by it. Help us to be restored by it. God, help us to love by it. God, may we not be so consumed with religion, but God, would we be consumed with your love for us? And may it empower us to love others. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.